DW.
In an open letter last summer, Professors Sarah Durant and Jose Brito called on governments around the world to adopt principles to uphold environmental protections for biodiversity and natural resources in times of conflict. These principles were put forward by the United Nations International Law Commission. The professors' research on megafauna in the Sahara Sahel in Africa has shown how conflicts lead to species decline and how climate-related challenges will only make conflict more prevalent in the future as resources are squeezed. To discuss how conflict affects wildlife and the environment, Professor Durant joined me on the line from Tanzania, where she's studying cheetahs and other large carnivores.
I think a lot of us think about what happens during conflict and the impacts that has on the environment. But there's also a lot of work to be done before conflicts, because often a lack of resources, unsustainable use of the environment actually underpins conflict situations. So a lot of conflicts take place because of conflicts over natural resources. So it's important to think about addressing those issues before conflict starts. It's obviously important to think about the environment during conflicts and not willful destruction of the environment. By that, I mean things like Agent Orange used in Vietnam, the setting fire to the oil wells in Iraq. But then there's also the post-conflict situation where you have to sort of rebuild the communities and the environment and restore biodiversity, restore ecosystem services, and restore the environment so it can then support people as well as wildlife.
What are the biggest concerns for animals and biodiversity in particular?
One of the reasons I became involved with these issues was through our work in the Sahara Sahel. There's a very critically endangered population of cheetah living in the central Sahara. Only around about 200 or so of them left. And we're seeing, because of increased conflict incidents all across the Sahara, it's having an impact on the wildlife that the cheetahs depend on. You're seeing more Dorcas gazelle being killed as conflict goes up, and you're seeing the addax disappear as conflict increases. So it's correlational, and you can't really do experiments on this, but the evidence suggests that the more conflict there is, then the more likely it is that animals will disappear. There's also an issue about the proliferation of arms in the region, and that provides weapons that people are using to hunt out some of the areas.
So basically, when there's armed conflict, there's more arms flooding in and increased hunting and poaching in the area?
Yes, that's an issue in that particular area. In other areas, there might be other consequences of conflict, such as mined areas in Angola, perhaps pollution because of armaments and dumped munitions. So there may be different issues in different regions.
What are some of the solutions you see to dealing with these issues?
So these principles of law recommended by the UN Law Commission are a really important step forward. And we would like to see countries adopting those principles and implementing those principles. If that could happen, it would make a big difference to controlling the impacts of conflict on the environment and also the recovery of the environment and of biodiversity after conflicts.
At the moment, several countries involved in conflicts around the world haven't ratified additional amendments to the Geneva Convention. What makes you think that these proposed environmental protections would be ratified by those countries and complied with by all nations?
Yeah, I mean, you make a valid point that a lot of countries object to any further restrictions on these issues. But I think there is also a lot of support for these principles, particularly from those countries that are most affected by conflict. So I would hope that there could be a groundswell of opinion from the global community that moves us towards the adoption of those principles.
Sometimes it's difficult to discuss wildlife and the environment when so many people's lives are in danger in these conflict zones. How can we balance these concerns in our discussion about different conflicts?
I think it's a mistake to treat these issues separately. Anything that affects the wildlife and the ecosystem will affect the people. So it is a humanitarian approach to safeguard the environment, because that in turn safeguards the people and their livelihoods into the future. It also is counterproductive to let the environment be damaged, because that actually increases the likelihood of conflict happening again, recurrence of conflict and entering a conflict cycle. We depend on our environment for our lives to live. DW.